Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell-Reed, my co-host, Wyn Scheltema, and our guest this week, Beth Bruder. Each week, we visit with an author, editor, or publisher from our region. We hope to find out a little about their lives, what they love about their job. If they write, we give them an opportunity to read some of their work. But this time, we hope to hear about some of the writers our guest publishes. We're very pleased to have Beth Bruder with us today. Beth Bruder is Vice President at Dundurn Press. She has many years of experience in all aspects of publishing books, both nationally and internationally. She worked in the reference world of Wiley Canada before transitioning to the ever-engaging arena of Canadian trade publishing at Dundurn. Beth serves on the Council of the Association of Canadian Publishers and was a founding member and chair of the committee that launched the 49th Shelf, a Canadian book discovery website. It has one purpose: to make it easier for readers to discover Canadian books in all genres, from best-selling authors to new talent, from publishers large and small, and from all regions of the country. Beth was the chairman of the board of BookNet Canada and still sits on that board, a non-profit organization that develops technologies, standards, and education to serve the Canadian book industry. And I think she's going to talk about it for us in a minute. Welcome, Beth.
Thank you, Felicity.
You told me that you started out by studying radio and television arts at Ryerson and made some radio shows. What's publishing got over broadcasting?
Well, I think there's a lot of years between when I started at Ryerson in 1969 and when I really began in publishing, which was probably about 85. I actually left broadcasting and did a psychology degree and then had my own family and then worked my way back into publishing. So I think they're both equally interesting and have certainly had significant changes in both businesses over the years. So publishing, we have the authors and we deal with ideas and concepts, and so that is very enjoyable.
Dundurn's mission always seems to have been to feature Canadian authors telling Canadian stories. And in doing so, it's become the largest independent Canadian press in Canada. Tell us a little about the history of Dundurn.
I think Dundurn's history is part of the history of the development of Canadian-owned publishers. And I don't know this perfectly, but in the early 70s, there was a big push for Canadian books to be published for and by Canadians. And there were a couple of royal commissions on it. And at that time, many publishers started, and many are still around. House of Anansi Press was started at that time. Coach House Books, which they just won the Governor General's Award for 15 Dogs. Dundurn was started. Too many to mention. Many of them are gone, the very small ones, but many of the publishers developed as the industry changed. So I think it's a really important Canadian story that these owner-operated companies, most still owned by the people that started them, have made a significant impact not only in Canada, but also throughout the world. And, you know, we travel to at least two international book fairs, London and Frankfurt. Many Canadian publishers also do Bologna, the children's book fair. So Dundurn is still owned by Kirk Howard. He started it because of his love of history. He taught one of the very first Canadian studies programs ever. And I love his story when he says that he was on a committee for, I think it was the Independent Canada, I probably have that wrong, and when he was a teacher at Holland College in PEI, and Jack McClellan came down to speak to the group. And Kirk was very enamored of what Jack was saying, that we need an independent Canada, and so Kirk decided that he would publish Canadian history. Not many publishers were doing nonfiction history. Most wanted to do the literary side of it. And as he says, he thought, how hard could it be? Well, he certainly found out. But I think
it's been a great success. And in a way, Dunedin has focused very much on Canadian history, has it not?
Yes, and we still do a lot of Canadian history. Over the years, we've added fiction, mysteries, teen fiction, and popular nonfiction. But the history and serious political biographies, we did Dalton McGuinty, Greg Cerberus recently. We're doing a book on Bill Davis, for those of us that remember Bill Davis. So, yes, we take very seriously our role in continuing to publish Canadian stories.
Mm-hmm. So I think that publishing is your personal passion. Tell us how you became involved in it and what made you so devoted to it.
Well, I've always loved reading, you know. I think if you talk to anybody in publishing, that's where it starts, you know. We came from a house where books were appreciated. My mother read to us every night, so that my first book was Peter Rabbit, which I think I still know off by heart. So there was a real love of reading, and so we grew up that way. So it was always foremost in our lives and still is. So that's really where my love of publishing comes from, is my love of reading. My brother, Fred Wardle, was also a publisher. He ran Methuen for many years and ended up running Access Copyright, the big copyright agency. So, you know, we have a family link to publishing in many ways. So that's really where it started. And it's chaotic. I happen to like chaos, somewhat controlled. But when you're dealing with so many authors and so many ideas, it's, you know, and publishers believe they have a process in place. We live and die by process, but there's always exceptions. Every day there seems to be exceptions. So it's very energizing to work with creative people, the authors, and to watch a book go from an idea around a pub board table to a book.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, it's fun.
And you've given so much to Canadian publishing overall, apart from Dunedin.
Yes, I worked for Branch Plant. That was, I mean, the big ones, Addison Wesley, which is now Pearson, and Wiley. But I didn't really know about Canadian publishers when I was there. And I think this is the way with the public, right? Most people don't define publishers like that. But when I came to the Canadian side, it was a different world. Very personal, people, you know, struggling to make the businesses work. When you work for a Branch Plant, whether it's Simon & Schuster or HarperCollins, all great companies, you don't rely solely on your Canadian publishing program to live or die.
No.
You get all of the product that comes, the books that come in from the U.S. or the U.K. or whatever. So it was a whole new world to come to Canadian publishing.
Would you like to read us a little bit from one of your favorite Dunedin books or something?
Well, I don't have anything actually to read, but I do have a couple of our new books that are just coming out that I would like to talk about. Is that all right?
Okay, that would be fine.
One is called Five Roses, and this is a wonderful story set in Montreal. Anybody from Montreal will recognize the cover, because it is the actual Five Roses flour mill towers, which are like an iconic landmark there. And this book starts off so wonderfully, and set in rural Quebec, and a young woman who lives with her elderly parents, never really went to school, lives out in the woods. And when both of her parents die, she goes to Montreal. And the only place she knows where to go, she doesn't have any contacts, is the nuns. So the nuns take her in for a couple of weeks, and then they say, you have to leave. This was in the 60s, by the way. That's where it starts. So she goes downtown, and she goes down around the area where the Five Roses flour mills are, which was then, you know, not such a nice area. And she's just a lost little soul, and she's wandering around. She has a job at the hospital, though, cleaning. And she comes across this house, which is really a hippie haven. And she just moves in. There's an empty room, and she moves in. And so she cleans up her room, and she cooks for whoever's around. And one day she comes home, and the young woman who owns the house and is there all alone, has a baby. And so Therese sees that this young woman is heavily into drugs, and she comes down one day, and Therese sees the baby there and sees that the baby isn't being fed, and so she decides to take the baby and leave. So she takes the baby, calls her Rose, and moves back to her home in rural Quebec, where she grew up. It was just sitting empty. And so there begins the story of Rose. And it moves on. It's good, isn't it? It's a very, very good story. So that's one of our new books that has just come out. You'll see reviews of that very, very shortly. Are you ready for more?
Sure.
Another story we have is Tears in the Grass by Linda Archer. And this is three Aboriginal women, their stories. And it starts with, I think her name is Eleanor, and she's in her 90s. She's living on her own in the woods in a little cabin close to her daughter and her granddaughter, but she wants to be independent. But obviously, when you first read about her, something is going on. Maybe she anticipates her death, but she's very, very restless because she has a secret. And the secret is that she was at residential school when she was a young woman, and she was raped and had the baby, and then the baby was taken away from her. The nuns took it away. They didn't tell her they were going to do this. They just said they were taking the baby away to have the doctor look at it. So she is now determined to find this child, but she's never told anybody. She didn't tell her husband, who's dead. She's never told her daughter, and she hasn't told her granddaughter, but she knows that she has to have help, and so she tells her daughter. And the stories of her daughter and her granddaughter also come into it. So it's three generations, really. So those are two of our new fiction titles.
I can't wait to read them.
Good, good.
So thank you, Beth. Now we'll take a short break.